armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important this is?
You
have
any idea?
Really, this is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. March Madness has begun, and we are now officially 2 weeks away from opening day. Let's go!
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? If you're not doing great, that means you probably have already got a bracket busted. That's probably what's going on right now. Let's get you caught up to date. You see the scores up there of the ones going live right now. Now, the games that are actually live right now, Alabama is about to start. It was supposed to start at 3:05, but we all know how that goes. It's all based off of what has already happened. So Alabama is tipping off at 3:15 Eastern. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with that. And right now, what's live, Kansas has a 13-point lead at half. The 13-point lead at the half, they are favored. I want to say it was 21 or 22 the last time I saw. Now, I got them early. I got them at a minus 19.5, so it's trending in the right direction. But we definitely want to see them put the pedal down in the second half, and I think they will. Kansas typically in the first round, I went off of their history. Kansas typically does not struggle in the first round when they are a one seed. They typically take care of business, and I can't imagine that they're not going to today. Now, whether they cover the spread or not, I don't know, but I liked their early action. Missouri leads Utah State, and that game is 44-41 and is in the second. Now, if you're driving around or you're working, you haven't had time to find out what's going on, Furman has already busted your bracket. Furman has busted your bracket. They beat Virginia, and a lot of people were on this one. So Furman has already gone into the bracket-busting business. Virginia, remember a couple weeks ago we called frauds, and that was my fraud? Fraud! They're a fraud. West Virginia blows a late lead against Maryland and loses by two. West Virginia dominated this game, and they just spit the bed at the end. They didn't hit the free throws. It was just an absolute disaster, but they're gone. Maryland marches on. So you've got Maryland, and they will most likely face Alabama. And Virginia, they gone. They lost to Furman. So already brackets are busted everywhere. Games coming up, and we have Steven on the way. We have Doug on the way. We're going to talk the brackets. They're going to give me their final four, and I'm going to go through my complete bracket as well. So we got a busy day, and before we get into anything else, I do want to address what happened last night. If you missed it, I was watching it live. And I actually got up to get a glass of water and let the dogs out when Puerto Rico registered the final out and wasn't really paying attention. I had to rewind to see the whole thing. I was like, what in the world's going on? Who is that, that's hurt? Who's hobbling around? And honestly, because they have the same haircut or about the same haircut and play and both play for the Puerto Rican team, I thought it was Francisco Lindor. And then they flashed over to Francisco Lindor going down to his knees and holding his head in disbelief. And instantly, before I even panned it over to see what was going on, I knew it had to be Diaz because I knew it had to be his teammate. So if you missed this, Edwin Diaz, they were just hopping around. They were celebrating. It wasn't anything really out of the ordinary. What that tells me is that his knee was compromised. This was going to happen eventually in the very near future. Because just jumping around the way he jumped around and not really doing a whole heck of a lot, that tells me off the absolute get-go. I know a lot of people are going to be up in arms, especially Mets fans, about the World Baseball Classic. And I was listening to some New York radio this morning. I thought it was fitting that the guy who went on and on last year, last June, saying the NL East is over. The NL East is over. And if I would have had time, I actually thought about calling in, but I had to get my butt to work. But I'm sitting there thinking to myself, that's what's going through his head right now. He's not saying it, but that's what's going through his head. The NL East is over. At least it is for the Mets, I believe. I didn't think they were going to win the NL East anyways. I didn't think they did anything to realistically improve their team. I think they were banking on some very unproven guys to have much better years than what they're being projected for. And they lost to Grom, which, let's be honest, talent-wise, he's the best pitcher in baseball. Now, it's a fair enough assessment to say, yeah, that's true, but he's never healthy. And we got Verlander now, and he should be healthy. Verlander has faded down the stretch as he's gotten older these last few years. Not to mention, remember, he's, what, two seasons removed from Tommy John? He's 40. Scherzer is 40. So I didn't think any of that spelled, oh, the Mets are better this year. I thought there were going to be big-time regression for the New York Mets. Now, I believe the Braves are going to regress. They're not going to win 101 games, but I don't think it's going to take 101 wins to win. I think if you have somewhere around 95 to 96 this year, you're going to be talking about an NL East championship for the sixth consecutive year. Because this has to put the Mets, who have lost their Edwin Diaz, the news did come out. If you missed the sports break, Edwin Diaz is done for the year. I think most of us knew it, but it was confirmed. Torn PCL, the average time of rehabilitation and back to action is between 8 to 10 months, and that's best case scenario. So we're sitting here in March. That puts you at the end of November. Best case scenario, more likely January, February. What the Mets are hoping, because they just signed this guy to a five-year, $100 million deal, what they're hoping is that he'll be ready to roll next year. They're also hoping that he will still be who he is, because that is a big-time question. That is a huge question, because when an older guy ends up being injured off of what is his power leg, and he's going to come back, it's not necessarily a given thing that he's going to end up being who he was. He's probably going to, it's not just his velocity that you may be worried about. When relievers lose it, they lose it quick. Their domination. Not saying that he can't be a good reliever for four more years. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that he was dominant. Edwin Diaz was the best reliever in all of baseball. He was absolutely dominant. And we are sitting here expecting him to miss the entire year. We're going to talk about that. Steven's coming in. Doug's coming in. We're going to take a really quick break when we come back. We're going to hit that up. We're going to get you caught up on what's going on with Missouri and Utah State. It is neck and neck, and Kansas has a comfortable lead, but it's not over. First round action, and the Bama Crimson Tide are tipping off as we speak. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD. Friday, March 17th, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country. The Atlanta Braves are in Fort Myers, Florida to take on the Boston Red Sox. Braves Country HD with giving you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. That's Friday, March 17th, 1 p.m. Eastern, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country and your Atlanta Braves.
You play to win the game.
Hey, sports fans, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
I had trouble with interviews when I first started in the business because I was very antisocial. I just wanted to be in a little room screaming and hollering and playing, you know, Three Dog Night and Grand Funk Railroad records. One of my first jobs was in Memphis, and I used to play a lot of Jimi Hendrix songs there. And he was coming to town, and I was talking about him. I was playing Let Me Stand Next to You, Fire. Remember that? So I got a call. Hey, I'm with the record company, and I got Jimi Hendrix with me, and he wants to do an interview with you. I said, oh, man. So I got a clipboard, and I wrote down three questions. I wrote it down. So he comes in, he's sitting there, and he's obviously out of it, right? Yeah. So I go like this. I said, Jimmy, it's nice to have you here in Memphis. You know, you're doing a show. Yeah, man. Yeah. So then I said, I know you broke up with the Experience. You got a new band of Gypsies. Who's in that band with you? And he goes, I don't know, man. I go, oh, crap. I only got two more questions left. So then I go like this. I go, I know you've been on the road. Where'd you play last night? I don't know, man. So I only got one question left. I said, I know you're working on a new album. You got a title for it yet? He goes, you could give me another question. So I turn to get my clipboard, and all of a sudden I hear he passed out right on the couch.
Oh my God.
And I go, like, now I really don't know what to do. Holy crap. Jimi Hendrix passed out on my show. What am I going to do? So the next thing, the manager says, I think the interview's over. And then he grabs Jimmy, he sets him up, and he throws up on my console.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going like, oh, no. That yeah. was it, man. That was my first interview.
Armchair. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., Drive Time on WQEE.
Welcome back. Steven Church joining us, Texas T. How are you, Texas?
Hey, it's the first day of March Madness. I can't be any better.
So I didn't get a chance to watch any of the games because I was rushing home. But the Furman one doesn't surprise me per se because
a lot of folks were picking them. But I watched the tail end of that West Virginia Maryland game. West Virginia had that game and they just absolutely spit the bit, shot themselves in the foot repeatedly and lost by a bucket. And that one disappoints me because if West Virginia was the type of team that actually had a chance to beat Alabama, I was worried about them getting past Maryland, but they had the matchup to beat Alabama. I'm not so much sure with Maryland. Yella, are you there?
Yeah, no, that I didn't get to watch any games earlier, like either. And I mean, like you said, the Virginia one doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, like they really never had a strong like offense. I mean, they had a good defense, but you got to be able to score in this tournament. And obviously, like they weren't able to get done against Furman, but man, the West Virginia one, I saw a lot of people pick them, so that kind of broke a lot of brackets already.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people had Virginia going very far, but
no. You
know, maybe to the next couple of rounds. The only thing I will say to anyone who had like Virginia going fairly deep or West Virginia going fairly deep, this is one of the more wide open tournaments that I can ever remember. A lot of it's got to do with the NIL, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't be surprised if it's just a trashed bracket by the end of Friday night or even by the end of Sunday. So you may think your bracket has no chance, but as long as your final four stay alive, you're probably okay. Cause I seriously doubt that that's the last big upset today.
Not by a long shot.
I don't give Tennessee much of a chance of beating Louisiana. And I know Tennessee's an 11-point favorite, but I think that injury is huge, and I don't understand why they're an 11-point favorite. I feel like that game should be closer to about two buckets, so like around six or so. It's really, really strange that it's 11 points. I'll tell you what, something else. Houston better not snooze on Northern Kentucky, because I've watched a lot of their games. Don't ask me why, but I have. Probably about four or five of the last 2 months. They're not a bad basketball team. And if they're hitting their shots, Houston just better strap it on. And I don't know if it's here. Is it today? I think that game's tomorrow. But the Kennesaw State matchup, I like Kennesaw State a lot in that game to at least cover the spread. What's the one game that you're most excited about today? Because I don't think Miami plays till tomorrow, right?
Yeah, no, Miami plays tomorrow. Actually, give me 2 seconds. I got to pull the schedule back up. I'm not even.
To me, I think the best game of the night, it's a little shame. It's a shame that it's at 9:55, which you know that means probably 10:10. Penn State, Texas A&M. I feel like that game should have been more in the prime time.
Yeah, no, I like actually, like now that you said that I can't think of a better game. No, I mean, Penn State, how long has it been since they've won a tournament game? It's, I mean, 15, 20 years at least. But I mean, I really got a feeling that they're going to break that curse today and get the win.
That's a question for Tones, who's on tomorrow, because he's the big Penn State guy. I'm not sure about their drought. I do know this. Someone's probably going to pluck Shrewsbury, right? Like, I think he's one of the best coaches in the country, and I don't think Penn State has the dedication to college basketball, and someone's going to come a call in this offseason, because what he's done at Penn State is remarkable, and I really think they have a puncher's chance of beating Texas A&M. I'm a little surprised that game's not more of a pick'em, but I get it. Texas A&M was a higher seed, and they're 25-9. They played in the SEC, and I get that. But Penn State's been playing really good basketball over the last, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, maybe. I think Doug's coming on, but he's going in and out, so I'm not 100% sure. So he's here, but that is a black box because for some reason we don't see him. So I don't know if he's having internet connections or what. But anyways, by the way, real quick, just to update everybody who can't see the screen, Missouri leads Utah State 56-53. Kansas leads Howard by 14. I need that to go up a little bit. I took Kansas minus, I think it's 19.5, Wooten was the number I ended up with. I'm more excited about the point spreads covering than I am necessarily my bracket.
Yeah.
Because I never hit my bracket because my bracket is always based on common sense. And these brackets never make any sense. Like, you're like, dude, if you look at the matchup, if you look at the rebounding, if you look at this, regular season, it always seems to play out. March Madness, a kid will get hot. You can't explain it. Some kid who averages 7 points a game goes and drops 22 and he knocks out a high seed.
Yeah. I mean, what is it, a number two? Like, we've had a number two seed get knocked out in the first round in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I remember when a number two seed getting knocked off was just like, it was breaking news. I think 1990-ish was the first time. It was right in that area. I know it was Syracuse. They lost to Richmond. It was the first time ever. It was just huge. And then it happened once or twice more in the 90s, but now I think it's happened around six or seven times since then. So it's not as crazy. And we wondered if we were ever going to get the one seed going down. Of course, Virginia. I mean, what the hell is going on with Virginia?
Yeah.
They get knocked out so early, so quickly, so many times, but yet somehow they won the national championship a few years ago.
Sometimes it just takes one good year.
I think the biggest problem with him, with his style of coaching, is they play so close to the vest that everybody always has a chance to beat them. All you need is a couple of guys to be hot that day in Virginia because they run such a slow pace. For older fans who may not remember, or I mean, who may remember, they're not quite to the extent, but it's borderline Princeton basketball from the 90s and early 2000s, what Virginia runs. It's not quite to that extent, but it's right there.
I mean, I just pulled up the stats from today's game. This tells the story right here. Furman, 10 for 28 from three point range, 36%. Virginia, 2 for 12. Only 12 attempts.
Only 12 attempts from what?
From three-point range. 12 attempts, and they only made two of them. Furman attempted 28 and made 10.
Jeez. But, I mean, to only, in today's game, that's not that many attempts, right?
Well, I mean, the 28 isn't, but, I mean, like, the 12 is just abysmally low. It just kind of goes in what you're saying. They play a super old-school style of basketball. Like, they run through – they kind of run through the defense.
Yeah, and I do know he's been hamstringed this year because he's had a couple of guys down that are better shooters. But still, the point is, if you can't hit threes in today's college game especially.
Bye.
Yeah, it's just these kids are growing up behind the three-point line. They know how to do that more than they know how to do the fundamentals of basketball. You can get a kid anywhere in the country that can just hit lights out behind the three-point line on set shots, which is pretty much what they do nowadays, as opposed to trying to find your average kid that knows how to rebound, clear the glass, run a pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't look, and you're Virginia, man, you've had so much success. If you can't load up on enough 3-point shooters, like, what are you doing? I know you won that national championship, so that makes him a made man there, but the fan base has got to be just absolutely ticked off that they look forward to this every March. And it seems like every March, except for that one where they made the long run and won the national title, it seems like it's almost every March they have an early exit.
Yeah.
Kansas leads by 14. Missouri has gotten a comfortable lead. Now they are up by 9. There's 5 minutes left, so there's still a lot of time left. But Charleston has an early lead on San Diego State and Alabama. I need to see if I can move this up a little bit to try to make it where folks can see that a little bit better because here we go. That's a little better. Alabama leads 9-6. That game is early on, and those are the only four games going on right now. Give me a shocker that you're expecting today.
Well, I mean, like you touched on it, so I'm just going to roll with it. Tennessee loses to Louisiana.
Yeah, I will say this. I definitely like them in the points. If Tennessee gets past Louisiana, I don't think they're going to get very far. That injury is just absolutely brutal. I'll tell you another one, and I actually have Duke going very far in the tournament. Man, they better be careful with Oral Roberts. That is a bad matchup for Duke. But the one that I'm interested in, I'm not calling it, but I'm very, very curious because I've watched Colgate play three or four times this year, and they play a style of basketball that is good for an upset. And I do believe that Texas has better athletes, and they should put Colgate away. But I don't know if they're covering that spread, and it could be nip and tuck. Because the one thing that Colgate does is what I mentioned earlier, that it's hard to find kids to do. If you want to see some old school basketball, and they do shoot from the outside, but if you want to see some old school basketball, moving without the ball, crisp offense, watch Colgate tonight against Texas. They are usually very entertaining from just a standpoint. If you love watching old school, like real basketball, guys cutting behind, guys doing the pick and roll, guys clearing out. The problem is, you know, I can be as tactful as I want. It's not going to do me any good if LeBron James is in the paint. I'm clearing him out, but it just isn't working. He's skying over me. So that's, you know, that's the problem with basketball. You can't just find your way in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and get into Doug's having some technical difficulties. I'm going to try to reach out to him during the break, but let's get into your final four. Cause I'm curious to see where you went, and then I'll give you mine. Who is your final four for this March Madness? And have you already lost one?
No, thankfully no, but, coming out of the South, I have Alabama. Coming out of the East, I have Marquette. Coming out of the West, I have Kansas. And coming out of the Midwest, I mean, as a homer, it was really, really tempting to pick Miami. I think if Isaiah Wong is on and he's healthy, they have a shot to make a run. But I think Houston's going to make it through.
What's the update on him, by the way?
What's up?
What is the latest update on Wong?
I mean, from everything I can see, he's healthy and ready to go.
He is? Okay. Because I found a prop bet, and I thought it was extremely strange because I thought he was going to play, but I was like, well, I don't know. Whatever. I'm going to take a chance. And the prop bet was over under assists 0.5, just 0.5. And I was like, man, is he just absolutely not playing? Whatever, man. It's the NCAA tournament. I bet he guts it out. So I was like, whatever. I'm going in on it. But so you're hearing that he should be good to go.
I mean, I'm like scouring Twitter and I'm not seeing anything.
Okay.
About like injuries. I mean, I know he has been out, but I don't see anything about him being.
I thought it was just an extremely strange low bet, and maybe they're just trying to get people to bet. I don't know. I just thought it was odd.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, it could have been some kind of promotional thing that I wasn't catching, and I just can't come across it and hammered it, but I was like, 0.5? He just has to get one assist? That guy can't be that big of a ball hog. Let's go. I mean, the ball's constantly in his hand. Why wouldn't he have an assist? All right, so here's my final four. I've got Duke coming out of the South. Oh, no, the East, excuse me. Duke coming out of the East. I've written it upside down as is what I've done to myself. So I've got Duke coming out of the East. I just, man, Purdue, they're very Virginia-like. They play too many close games. And they got out of the Big Ten championship by the skin of their teeth. But someone's going to get them. And I'm actually hedging my bet that someone could be the winner of the FAU-Memphis game. I don't know if Purdue gets past that. And I like watching Purdue because they're kind of old school. They play defense, and I love watching the big man in the middle. You don't get to see that much anymore in any basketball. It's almost like they've become extinct, right?
Yeah.
But I really do enjoy that. But I just, man, every time I watch Purdue, even on games where I've taken them, even on games where they've covered, they barely get it done, man. And it's just like, and one of these guys gets hot and hits two of those shots and they're done.
Yeah.
In the South, I've got Arizona and I'm a little hesitant on it. But my biggest question mark with Alabama, it's not whether or not they're good or not. They're probably the most talented team in the country. My question is, they're dealing with this turmoil with Brandon Miller, right? Does it start wearing on them as the rounds go on and you have reporters? It's no longer ESPN who's been candy coating this. You've got like ABC, NBC, CBS news reporters who are trying to dig a story up, right? And the sheer amount of wear and tear it can do on you mentally, that's my question. Will they eventually just wear down and go, oh my God, I just want this to be over, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a thing. And to win six consecutive games, you don't need that extra junk added to it. So that's why I ended up going with Arizona. I really do think that Alabama's got a really easy bracket. And talent wise, they should cruise to it. So I'm not hating that you put them in there. I'm going with this gut feeling that, man, someone eventually going to go, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't take any more of this crap. I'm out of here. I'm transferring. And so East, I went with Duke, and I wasn't planning on going with Duke a few weeks ago. In fact, I was having them early exit, but they have played so well. I've just had a hard time eliminating them. Every matchup, I was like, I don't know, man. I really think that they're going to make it. I think they're going to squeak past. And because they draw Tennessee in the second game, assuming they get past Oral Roberts, that is a phenomenal matchup for Duke.
Yeah.
In the bottom of that bracket, Marquette is the one team I would be concerned about a little bit with Kansas State, but the rest of the bracket, I'm just not that worried about. Took Houston in the Midwest. And in the West, I took Gonzaga.
I don't hate it. I was leaning them. Like it was between them and Kansas. Like I have them meeting in the Elite Eight.
Who did you go with them? Did you go Kansas?
Yeah, I went Kansas out of the West.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish off the Final Four and tell everyone who our national champions are, and then we're going to try to get into some of this other stuff. I mean, this Edwin Diaz thing, Steven, this has opened up a playoff possibility for your Miami Marlins. I'm going to go that far. That far in saying Edwin Diaz injury could sink the Mets. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD.
What about the assistants on the staff right now? The guys that were there in training camp, the guys that were there early in the morning and late at night, the guys that have gone through the first 6 weeks in that building. Don't they deserve the opportunity for an owner to hire a coach who's never been an assistant at the college level or the pro level and overseeing a lot of candidates that are qualified for that job, as we see in Steve Wilks, an opportunity to build a resume? It's a disgrace to the coaching profession. And regardless how this thing plays out, what happened in Indianapolis is a travesty. What about the assistants on the staff right now?
I might audible. If I audible, I'll use
Omaha!
Polly, Red Polly,
Blue Poncho, Blue Poncho,
Dilly Dilly,
Rambo, Rambo, give me Kershaw here, Kershaw.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio.
Chop, chop, Japan, Richmond, New York, Richmond, Florida, Sally, Buffalo, check, check, hey, Short Ox, Luda Raiders,
Red Giant, Omaha,
I'm out.
Hey, can I tell you one thing? That's three holding penalties on one football team in a quarter and a half. That ain't funny.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Almost Good Beer. Remember, Ed's Almost Good Beer was brewed in God's country when God wasn't looking.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
The Armchair Quarterback's on YouTube Live. We cover Braves baseball and the rest of Major League Baseball every day. Subscribe and like us today. Your first choice for sports talk live from the First Coast.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
You're right. Without realizing it, I've allowed that woman to alter my personality.
You didn't have a personality. You just had some shows you liked.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
Kansas is up by 21 with 7 minutes left.
Keep that pedal down. Rock Chalk Jayhawk cover the spread. And Alabama, Crimson Tide, a familiar score to you football fans. They're up 24-17 over Texas A&M Corpus Christi. So there you have that on the update. And did I miss one? I feel like I missed one. Oh, Charleston is up on San Diego State 10-6. Steven, have you turned on the TV at all today?
I have not. I've been out running around.
I'm going to be curious. I guess after you get off the air, if you can shoot me a text, I'm curious about something. When I turned on YouTube TV streaming service, which I'm canceling in about a week or so because to hell with them if they're not going to have the Major League Baseball network, right?
Exactly.
I'm not going through a whole season missing D-Row and what's the guy's name? Roflow. And even if I don't see it live, I still tend to record it and catch the blurbs that I get. So anyways, my point is, I don't know if this is something that they're doing across the board or if this is something YouTube has come up with, because I know sometimes – like, for instance, I remember DirecTV doing things that you couldn't get elsewhere. But if this is something that CBS is doing across the board, this is phenomenal, and it's about damn time. I turn on, and I see that I can go watch, like, for instance, earlier, I think it was the West Virginia game. Right now it shows Alabama versus A&MCC. And then I go back over, and if you're familiar with their app, you go to the home, and you'll see everything that's kind of suggested for you. And usually it's crap they're trying to trick you into watching, but some of it's based on your watching. And I see this thing pop up. I'm like, what is this? They've got two games side by side on the same box. What? So I click on and go, whoa, two games on the same screen. It's about damn time. And they did it for, so in other words, I've got two televisions on right now. Three altogether. The Alabama game's my main one that I see that in the big screen. But then the other two, it's got the Bama game paired up with the Charleston game on one channel. On the other channel, it's Missouri and the other one's at commercial. Kansas game, and they're side by side. So it's something we've seen over the years when the games are coming down and you'll see them flashing, but they never have a permanent channel. And they finally wised up and have a permanent channel.
Interesting.
But yeah, I don't know if this is just YouTube TV or if this is something that CBS and their and all their sister networks, TNT, TBS, all that stuff, if that's something that they've come up with.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check it after this.
Because if so, like, it's, I mean, it is about time. And I also told my wife, I said, I'm glad I decided not to cancel this until the end of March. Because
yeah,
my biggest fear was I was going to get into Fubo or something else and not know where all the channels were. And I'm trying to run around March Madness going, what the hell's going on here, right?
Yeah. So,
I begin my journey. I think I'm going Fubo. Most people have talked me into Fubo. I think I'm going Fubo starting right before opening day. Is that what you have, or do you have something else?
I don't actually have TV. I mean, like, I've had Fubo in the past. I sometimes use someone else's Fubo, but I usually do either like the Paramount Plus or Peacock. In ESPN have the games.
Okay. Yeah, because the thing is it I have to have something to stream my ESPN Plus with the ball games, because if you don't have another, in other words, if you don't have YouTube TV, if you don't have Fubo or any of the stuff like that, you get ESPN Plus, but you can't get live games because the first thing they ask you is who are you paired with? And so it's basically a bunch of junk. I mean, basically it's reruns of Sports Center and 47,000 television shows that Peyton Manning's put together on their stream. Missouri did hold on and win, by the way. All right. So Final Four, who you got
in the final?
And then who do you have marching on?
All right. So going to the final I have Alabama versus Marquette for one of the matchups in the Final Four. I've actually got Marquette marching on there. They looked like a terror this year with Shaka Smart, like in year two. I've got a lot of faith in that team. And then on the other side,
you got Marquette in the national title game.
Yep.
Wow, I like it.
Yeah, that was my only bold call. The other side, I went Houston moving on to the title game. And from there, I actually have Marquette taking it all.
That would be really cool. I would love to see that. I mean, it's not what I picked, obviously, because you heard my Final Four, but I would love to see Shaka Smart and Marquette winning the national championship. That would be really neat to see a smaller school like that that pretty much just has basketball to do that well.
Yeah.
I went a little more Power Five in mine. I've got Duke knocking out Arizona, and I don't know. I feel like I'm going to regret putting Duke, getting all on the Duke train, because I wasn't going to do it. I was like, man, Krzyzewski's gone. They're not the same. Da 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 da. And slowly but surely, that kid has built something, and he is a outstanding coach. Now I see why he got the job. Because when he got the job, I was a little surprised that they didn't go to Wojo, that they didn't go to Jeff Capel, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, the kid was playing for Duke not too long ago. And now he's absolutely just, anyways, I'm believing in this Duke team. I didn't take him to win at all, but I did get him to get past Arizona. If all things were equal and everybody was healthy, if you had asked me a month ago who I was taking, it was going to be UCLA. But that injury worries the crap out of me. And I do think they're one of the best coach teams in basketball, so they might be able to find a way to make it work without them. But that puts a lot of pressure on the rest of the offense. And I think eventually UCLA is going to get bounced. And then I've got Gonzaga beating Houston.
Ooh.
And this is just, man, this, I don't know what it is, but I've gotten to where I like watching Gonzaga basketball. And because they've gotten so close so many times, it's about damn time. Right. And if they're not going to do it with Timmy coming back for one more year, then when are they going to do it?
Yeah.
So give me the Zags to beat the Duke Blue Devils for the national championship. And that's where I went.
And for anybody interested, given the whole spiel that Dave had on Duke, Oral Roberts today is plus 240 money line. Just for good measure.
What's the current line on that right now?
It is 6, I believe. Yeah, 6 points.
Duke is only favored by 6?
Yep.
Bang. I'm at least going to tease that.
I was about to say tease that with like Arizona or something.
Or Louisiana Lafayette.
I just saw that. Yep.
I've got some games that I've already laid down for the day games. When I woke up early this morning, I laid those in. And I was like, I'll worry about the night games later. Let me see how bad this is.
Oh, yeah. I'm already getting trounced something like from the early games.
I'm pretty sure I took West Virginia on the money line.
I did as well.
This idiot. I mean, come on, dude. Find a way to get it together. All right. These are the ones that I still have going. Kansas minus 19.5. I know I've referenced that. Is this an earlier game? Why do I have this pick so already? No, it's a night game. But anyways, I took Penn State on a teaser with Northwestern. So I'm getting points on both of them. And done pretty well with this college basketball. I'm actually very surprised. I always do well with baseball. I do solid with football, but college basketball, I've never done well. This is the first year I've actually said, I'm going to come up with a freaking game plan with this and not just go, oh, well, I think they're pretty good. So I started paying attention to 5 factors, and those 5 factors, I look at everybody when they go up against each other, and those are the only 5 factors I look at. And then, of course, the 6th wild card is always check the injury report. Don't be stupid. I took Iowa. I'm not sure if this game is today. I took Iowa to beat Auburn. I do think Iowa's going to beat Auburn. I like that one a lot. I took it by itself. I took them on the money line plus 105. I just, man, Iowa's a good basketball team, and Auburn has just been Jekyll and Hyde, and I'll take my chances with Iowa. Is the Arkansas game today?
That's actually in 40 minutes.
Okay, so I tease them and I tease Princeton. So tease Princeton up to, it's a 3-point tease across the board. So I tease Princeton and Arkansas to give Arkansas getting points. I don't have my glasses, but I think it's to 3.5, and get Princeton is now getting 17.5. And then, like I told you, I took Louisiana Lafayette. I'm all over that, man. There's just no way. Took Kennesaw State, but I think that game's tomorrow. So this is a parlay.
Took tomorrow.
Santa Barbara, Northern Kentucky. And then all those games I just mentioned, the Lafayette, the Northern Kentucky, the Kennesaw, the Santa Barbara, I took them individually as well.
Okay.
You want to hear my favorite future bet for Major League Baseball this year?
Oh, always. Let's hear it.
The Baltimore Orioles over under was 77.5 wins, and I took the over.
Oh, yeah. No, that is easy. Like, I remember I was talking about that. That was just stupid. Like, why is it so low?
Too bad Edwin Diaz doesn't play in that division.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let me see if the Mets total has changed.
Oh, it's got to, right? You got to figure what is his WAR, 5 or 6?
Yeah, something like that. They're at 92.5 right now.
92.5.
Marlins actually dropped 2 wins. They're down to 76.
Baltimore?
Marlins. Baltimore is at 77.5.
On this site that I'm on, I also got – I took the Twins to win the AL Central, but I was getting like plus 250, something like that, and I only laid like $20 on it or something like that. But I was like, I think the Twins have a decent team. I don't think the White Sox and the Indians or Guardians are that much better. And yeah. they were And hell, this was after they signed Correa and brought in your boy Lopez. I think the Twins are going to be entertaining this year. And it gives me a rooting interest for the AL Central that I never have. I never really care about AL Central baseball.
I mean, let's see what they're currently at right now. Plus 180 to win the Central.
Oh, well, then I got a really good deal then. Because this is... It was either 240 or 245.
Okay.
This was probably a month ago. Yeah, February 25th is when I laid it.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's... I know it was after the Correa, but it may have been before the Lopez trade. I can't remember how that went down.
Got it.
What about this Diaz thing? I mean, as a Marlins fan, you got to feel like you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, they still have such a deep roster. It's going to be, he is a fantastic player. One of the, probably the best closer in baseball right now, but I don't know how.
He struck out the side right before he got injured. I mean, he's, I don't think there's a doubt that guy's the best.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it's, I feel for fans out there.
There's a difference between saying we've got a pretty good guy in the ninth and going, we've got the hammer of God coming in. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
He's very Mariano Rivera-like. They don't have the same repertoire, but you just felt like the game was over the moment he came in.
True.
And now it's going to be left up to essentially, I know they signed Robertson. It's going to be between, they'll probably give it to him. But Ottavino will be in the mix, and they both have struggled in the closing role over the last few years. They're good setup guys. It's just, it takes a different animal to close. Yeah. There's not really anyone out there on the market. First person I thought of today was the lefty from Baltimore, or the, what is his name? I'm pretty sure he's still out on the MLB market, but I just said his name right before I came on the air. I'll think of it in a second. But he's the first guy that I thought of. I was like, he's not a closer anymore. Zach Britton.
Oh, yeah, no.
I was scouring when I got home today, assuming that was going to be on Twitter or all the little feeds that I go to check signings. I was like, Zach Britton to the Mets makes so much sense right now. Because I don't think he's asking for much, but now he's got him over the coals. Now he's going to say, I'm 36. I want a six-year deal. And you'll like it. That's what he was waiting for. Have you watched any of the WBC?
No.
Because it comes on so damn late?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now, I think beginning this weekend, the next round, I believe these games are going to be more in the prime time. So,
yeah.
From my understanding, they're playing Saturday. I don't know the time, but I think it's going to be around that 7, 8 o'clock sweet spot. And I'm going to look that up at the break. But going forward, second round, I'll tell you what, in all the games, not just U.S., in all the games, the atmosphere has been electric. And if you're a sports fan, you're not watching it, y'all, you got to check them out this weekend. It has been unreal. It's very World Cup like where the place is going nuts. What is your do you have a lock, and what is your walk off for the day?
Let's see. No lock today. I mean, like, I'm just gonna, I've got a few beds to go on, but I'm just enjoying the day. And then walk off, yeah. I mean, this is one of the best times of the year. Enjoy March Madness while it's here. Yeah.
And I apologize for not getting to the NASCAR. Doug's technical problems threw me off, and I forgot to mention it, but we'll definitely get into it next week. I actually got us a promo, a lead-in intro song to it, man. God, Doug. All right, brother. We'll see
you this week.
Yes, sir. If you're out and about, are you in the neighborhood this week?
Yeah.
I'll text you our plans for tomorrow evening that folks we all know are involved. Okay?
Cool.
All right, brother. We're going to be back in a flash here on Braves Country. When we come back, I'm going to get to the bottom of that question I was asking, and we're going to get you caught up on all the scores. The Braves played today, and there's a clunker of an outing for someone. We'll be back in just a flash. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. It is one of the greatest sports days of the year, the first full round of March Madness. It all got going today at 12:15 Eastern time. We'll have the updates and highlights of all the early games. Games going on right now. The Alabama Crimson Tide just tipped off the number one seed in the tournament. Here in a few, you got Charleston versus San Diego State, Princeton versus Arizona, 5 versus 12, San Diego State battling Charleston, 2 versus 15, Princeton versus the Arizona Wildcats. 8-9 game at 4:30, Illinois versus Arkansas. And this evening, the early action is number 8 seed Iowa versus the number 9 seed Auburn Tigers. 5 versus 12, Oral Roberts and Duke. At 7:25, Colgate and Texas. 7:35, Boise State and Northwestern. And the 9:20, number 1 Houston versus Northern Kentucky. Tennessee Volunteers, a 10-point favorite versus Louisiana. That game is 9:40 on CBS. And at 9:55, Penn State versus Texas A&M. And the last tip of the night is set at 10:05 Eastern, or about that time, UNC Asheville, number 15 seed, versus the UCLA Bruins. Thursday afternoon, the Atlanta Braves and Tampa Bay Rays doing battle down in St. Pete at the Trop. We'll keep you up to date on all the scores and highlights as the show moves along. Games of interest throughout spring training and in the Grapefruit League. Mets are at the Nationals. That game is 6:05 Eastern. They'll square off in Palm Beach, Florida. Astros and Cardinals, 1 o'clock start. And out west, Cubs host the Diamondbacks. Giants are at the Mariners. Blue Jays at the Orioles tonight, along with the Yankees hosting the Pirates. NBA TV has one game on the docket tonight, Magic at the Suns. That game is at 10 Eastern. Other games in the association, Nuggets versus Pistons, Kings and the Nets, Thunder at the Raptors, the Pacers travel to the Bucks. The New York Mets star closer Edwin Diaz is expected to miss the entire 2023 season because of a knee injury suffered after the game at the World Baseball Classic. The Mets announced on Thursday that Diaz has a full tear of the patellar tendon in his right knee and will undergo surgery Thursday afternoon. Mets GM Billy Epler told reporters that the organization will not, quote, update Edwin's timeline for a while, unquote, but noted that the general recovery for such surgery takes about 8 to 10 months. Diaz, 28 years old, signed a 5-year, $102 million contract that made him Major League Baseball's highest-paid reliever. The hard-throwing right-hander recorded 32 saves, a 1.31 ERA, and 118 strikeouts in just 62 innings last year for the Mets. In Athens, Georgia, Jalen Carter pleads no contest Thursday to misdemeanor charges of reckless driving, racing, his attorney said to reporters in a statement. The former Georgia defensive lineman and top NFL draft prospect was sentenced to 12 months probation, a $1,000 fine, and 80 hours of community service, and will attend a state-approved defensive driving course. By resolving the matter, his attorney, Kim Stevens, said the state is barred from bringing additional charges against Carter in the future. In the statement, Stevens said Carter did not cause a car wreck in which Georgia football player Devin Willock and recruiting staffer Chandler LaCroix were killed. Police alleged that LaCroix was driving an SUV that was racing Carter's SUV before the wreck. According to police, LaCroix's SUV was going 104 miles an hour when it left the road and hit the two power poles in several trees. Police said her blood alcohol level was
0.19, about 2.5 times the legal limit in the state of Georgia. That's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
What about Kelso? I mean, Jackie has him totally whipped.
Ribbed like the family pig.
I am not pig whipped.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients, no high-fructose corn syrup, and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
Here you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
Like, I don't like winter. Like, I don't like winter. Like, I hate winter. Like, I'm originally from North Carolina. And, like, look, I hate winter so much, I'm for global warming. I am voting for it, marching for it. I might start buying people SUVs. I don't care. Ladies, start using hairspray again. No ozone. That's our goal. And see, there's people with me, but there's always a couple of crunchy granolas sitting around. Crunchy granolas sitting there thinking, but the polar ice caps are going to melt and we're all going to flood. No, we're not. We're not all going to flood. We're only losing Rhode Island, Long Island, and Jersey. Bye-bye.
Armchair.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hold on. Friday, March 17th, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country. The Atlanta Braves are in Fort Myers, Florida to take on the Boston Red Sox. Braves Country HD with giving you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. That's Friday, March 17th, 1 p.m. Eastern, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country and your Atlanta Braves.
If you're interested in going scumbag, I sell a starter kit. It includes a second phone, fake addresses, and some golf shirts.
I don't golf.
Nobody does. Golf was invented purely so husbands can cheat on their wives. A six-hour game in a completely different town where you need special shirts? I don't think so.
About 90 seconds left in the first half on that one. Let's save the line on that. And I do like Alabama to probably cover that, but I never pick lines in college, in any basketball. I never pick lines well over 20. I just... Especially March Madness. If this is a regular season game, I'd have been all over it. But honestly, when you got an early game in March Madness, you don't know how these kids are going to rebound and, you know, what time did they get in? Did they go and see the sights? I'm not 100% sure where Alabama is. Where they're playing. Oh, they're playing in Birmingham. There are no sights in Birmingham. No, I'm joking. I spent a week there one night. Oof, that was a wild, wild night. God, that's probably close to 30 years ago. I know it was early 90s. We were heading from Nashville down to the Gulf for Panama City for spring break. We went there a few years in a row. I can't remember if this was post high school, going into college, or if this was already college. I believe this was the trip that we did right after we graduated high school. So we're talking 18 years old. And, oh, we started it off right. We stopped in on the way down, we made it all the way to Dothan, Alabama. There was a hotel. Well, I say hotel. That was a motel. We stopped in a motel that night. And me and my buddies, couple of them have been on the show over the years. For those of y'all who've been with us since the beginning, one of them was Big E, which we lost him a few years ago, tragically. And then his cousins, Tom, who's called in many, many a times. And anyways, bunch of us kids straight out of high school trying to figure out, you know, what we're doing in this life. We decided we're going to go down to Panama City, stop off in Dothan, Alabama, in the very first night of our spring break. So we're not even at the place that we're going to stay at in Panama City. Whatever the name of that little motel was, someone brought in a fifth of something raunchy, and we all decided to drink it. And I will never forget what I had on that day, because this was early 90s. The baggy shorts of Jordan had not become popular yet. And we had just stopped off at the motel, so I'm not dressed to the nines. We didn't go out that night. So I just had like these gym shorts, essentially. But the darn things didn't have a pocket. They literally were gym shorts. We were hanging out. I figured, what do I need a pocket for? And that's about where it gets blurry. And at some point that night, because we were all crammed in there, a bunch of kids who had just graduated high school, we were all crammed into these hotels, or motels. The restrooms were full or whatever, and I decided to go outside to use the restroom. And I think what happened was I had my wallet tucked into my shorts. And when I went to go use the restroom, the wallet fell out, right? We don't realize it. The next morning I wake up and oh, by the way, old Doug has finally figured out the internet. And we'll welcome Doug in. Let me get that out of your way, Doug. So to finish that story real quick, got basically blackout type situation. Woke up the next morning, could not find my wallet, freaked out, had to break down and call my dad, explain to him what happened. I had to be honest. Dad was pretty cool about it. And he Western Union me money in Panama City and said, you'll just have to pay me when you get back. I said, okay, that's fair enough. I'll pay the charges, whatever. But the fact that he got me money was huge. If that wasn't so two times this has happened in my life where I've had just been blessed by someone being nice. The lady who was doing all of the, I don't know if she was the maid, but anyway, she worked at the motel doing something. She found the wallet. You got to realize this is early 90s. Everything was very new to the whole debit card thing. I had a debit card in there, but I had brought in a lot of cash with me, especially for that age and for the early 90s. I'd say there would have been $400 or so of cash. And I was planning on using that cash all week because I didn't want to use, because back then you didn't have debit cards. You only had ATMs. I didn't even have to rush to the ATM because back then, you know, they were charging you to use the ATM, all that nonsense. So it was at least 400. I think it was closer to 500. Or maybe it was 500. I had to pay my dad back after the Western Union charge. She found it, mailed it back to the address on my driver's license. Intact. All the money. Unbelievable. That happened one other time a few years later. I still had the same address. I just moved out, but I still had the same address, permanent address on my license. A buddy and I had gone to a local hockey game, much like the River Dragons that gets right here on 99.1 FM. We were going to see the Nashville Knights. This is before the Predators existed in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to the game, and somewhere in between leaving his car and to going to the stadium, I dropped my wallet. Didn't know, didn't realize it did. It fell out of either my pocket or my jacket, whatever it was. And so my buddy fronted me enough money to get, you know, refreshments in the game. I already had the ticket. Got home, and my dad did the whole thing just to mess with me. He goes, "Oh, how was your night? Da 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 da." It's okay. You know, we had a good time. He goes, "Anything happen?" He's like trying to drag something out of me. He's like, where's he going with this? I'd already kind of assumed that I'd lost the ball. Didn't think nothing of it. Two kids found my wallet and dropped it off at my dad's apartment on their way home from the game. Unbelievable. And that's the last time I had good luck in my entire life. I wasted it on those two things. Probably a total of, if you count the $400 that was in the wallet in Panama and the probably $50 in the hockey game, wasted it all for under $500. So there you go. Doug is joining us after that long. I wouldn't have started that long story if I knew you were coming in, Doug. So I do apologize, but it's kind of hard to stop a story like that once you start it.
I understand.
You know me with story time. You get a drink in my hand, it never stops. How are you, my friend?
Doing better now. I got this whole fangled computer thing finally figured out forever.
I told you, man.
That's a story in itself.
The streaming computer that you use for the show needs to be separate from what you stream naughty videos from. Okay, you just keep it separate.
I know, and it just I got it separated now. I keep the naughty away from the sport.
You're old school, Doug. I'm surprised you don't have VHS tapes to keep yourself from, you know, having these kinds of issues.
Well, when things like this happen and it falls down, I got my VHS backup and back room back there. So
kids riding down the road, VHS, what the hell is that? what was the other one before VHS that they said was better, but nobody wanted it because it was too expensive to buy the machine? Betamax.
Betamax, yep.
My mom had a Betamax. That thing was terrible. And though it was supposed to be better, you couldn't tell the difference. And you couldn't find, within like 3 or 4 years of VHS coming out and taking the world by storm, you couldn't find anybody who rented much Betamax when you would go into these Blockbusters and stuff, right?
Right. And
you did not convince her to get a VHS because she'd already poured all this money into the Betamax. Mm-hmm. Nightmare growing up as a kid.
I remember going to Eckerd Drugs and they had all the Betamax tapes on sale for like five for a dollar or whatever when they were trying to get rid of them, right next to the 8-track tapes.
I got a question from Robert. Do you think the Falcons will win the division next season? It really comes down to what they do at quarterback. I'm really interested. Man, I'm still holding out hope that Lamar Jackson comes in.
Oh, I was just thinking it's going to take forever to figure that one out at the rate he's going right now.
I know they've come out and said they're not interested, but everyone in the National Football League said they're not interested. The Baltimore Ravens have said they're not interested, so he's going to land somewhere.
Well, everybody's flinching at that guaranteed money, and it looks like right now it's going to be at least, I would figure, $200 million guaranteed, whoever takes him.
And I just, nobody's going to give someone who is so reliant on his legs and has been nothing but injured the entire, well, the last two seasons, he hasn't finished the season.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give a guy a guaranteed $200 million, but what he's banking on is a desperate franchise, Will. And that desperate franchise could be someone like an Atlanta Falcons. That thing's going to drag on for a while because it's going to drag on past the draft, I think. Because teams are going to look at what they did in the draft and then it'll get serious about who is actually serious about Jackson.
And you know something drags long enough when teams that you don't even think about that even need a quarterback are talking about it now. I've got the 49ers talking about it now, and actually talking about it on their website, how they may be interested.
I would say, well, tell me if you're catching what I'm pitching here. I would say that the Saints would be my favorite to win that division right now just because of Derek Carr going there.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of questions to be answered about that because I know that they brought back Michael Thomas, but what does that really mean? The guy is never playing. He hasn't played in like an entire presidential administration, essentially.
Yeah.
The Bucs are going with Baker Mayfield, so I'm not betting on them by any stretch of the imagination. I think they'll be lucky to get 6-7 wins. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun. It'll be entertaining. I'm glad he went to the Bucs because with Tones being on the show twice a week, him being such a big Bucs guy, it'll be entertaining all year long. But I wish him well, but I don't think there's much of a chance of Baker Mayfield doing great things in Tampa.
No.
And so then we go to Atlanta and Carolina, and we'll see what Carolina does in the draft. They're drafting a quarterback, but he's probably not going to start the season. You're looking at the Andy Dalton show. What can Frank Wright get out of Andy Dalton? I don't know. I think Carolina's going in the right direction. I think the Falcons could possibly be heading in the right direction, but it really comes down to what they do at quarterback. I know they got Heinicke, and they've got Ritter coming back, and those are two okay quarterbacks. That's the best way I can put it. Because they're not terrible by any stretch of the imagination, but they also don't excite your imagination either. That combination could be good enough to win what is probably – I don't know if they're the worst division in football, but they don't have a dominant team. They don't have an elite team in their division. The AFC South might be the worst division in football top to bottom, but the Jaguars, I think, are coming close to becoming elite.
Yes. I had always hoped, and to go with what you were saying earlier, I always thought, you know, connecting this back to Lamar Jackson, and I still don't understand. That would be, if he's going to be on a football team, the way they run their offense, I would think that, look, I would have thought the Falcons would have already begged for him. Because the minute they do that, I think they become the best team in that division. If that were to happen.
That's why I said it. Look, I've been talking about it for like 2 months now. That's why I said Lamar Jackson to the Falcons makes so much sense. There's a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is what you just said. He becomes the quarterback of the Falcons. They become the odds-on favorite to win the division. And, oh, my God, isn't that what this is about?
Yeah.
The other thing is they're going to put butts in the seats. They're going to sell jerseys. They're going to make back all the money that they would be spending on Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
If I were running the Falcons, I would have already gotten Lamar. The only thing that's going to hold this back is that the way he's tagged, the tag that they used to bring him in, you're going to have to spend an exorbitant amount of money and give up 2 number 1 draft picks, and that's a problem.
Well, you know, looking at the Falcons and looking at the team as it is now, I'd go ahead and do it. You might as well do it. I mean, look what Carolina gave up to have the first overall pick. It's almost minus the money granted.
$100 million guaranteed or whatever he ends up with, right? There's a big difference to what Carolina did. Because you've got a 4-year window with whatever quarterback you decide, whether it's Stroud or whoever they go with,
mm-hmm.
You've got a 4-year window to build something around him, et cetera, et cetera. With Lamar, you're giving up your future with the picks, but you're also giving up guaranteed money out the door. And they're not just a quarterback away from a Super Bowl championship. If they were that, I'd say, yeah, you know what? If you can make the numbers work. Why not? Like San Francisco, why not?
Yeah. Why not, exactly.
But this year's number one pick, that's why I think whoever might make the deal is going to wait till after the draft. Because if you wait till after the draft, it's the next two number one picks, right?
Yeah.
So think about that. If you have Lamar Jackson, you're the Atlanta Falcons, you have to give up the next two picks, right?
But if you're pushing
deep into the playoffs, those might as well be essentially second round picks. By the way, did you see the way that Virginia Furman game ended? I just saw the highlight. Virginia absolutely choked it away. I don't know who this guard was for Virginia. For a full court press, he got trapped close to his own basket. There were only a few seconds left. I couldn't see the screen, so I don't know if they had any timeouts left. But he was worried about getting called for a 5 seconds. And he just heaved it. When I say heaved it, he just heaved it to the middle of the court. It was literally like it's the equivalent of a quarterback running off his back foot and chucking it into the secondary in like a rainbow shot. Furman picked it off. They had a guy standing at the three-point line. They dished it to him. He drained a three, I'd say probably about 23-footer. And then there's like 2 seconds left, and they were unorganized. I'm thinking they were out of timeouts. But, I mean, this kid, he's got two guys on him, and he's literally like right next to his line, the baseline, excuse me. I mean, dude, I don't know what I would do. But I do know this, what I was taught years ago, you slam it off homeboy's knee and it goes out of bounds and it resets the clock and you get the ball back. You don't chuck it up into oblivion and hope for the best. Because when he did it, there was still like around 7 seconds left. So it wasn't like there was 1 or 2 seconds left and he's hoping to just chuck it and the clock runs out. There was way too much time to be doing that. It's a terrible play by the kid. But that's some bad coaching by Virginia. That should have been a conversation in the huddle right before they went back out and say, look, guys, we're out of timeouts. Worst case scenario, slam it off someone's leg and get it out of bounds and let's get the ball back and reset. Right? Can't tell you how many. Anyways. I don't remember what we were talking about.
With Lamar and free agency.
Yeah. Lamar. So to me with Lamar, I'm with you, but they're going to wait till after the draft to do anything like that. Cause you don't want to give up this year's pick. It's a top 10 pick.
The only reason I'm worried about that kind of strategy, it's a good one and it makes sense, is what if the 49ers go ahead and press the issue?
You think they will?
And you waited too long.
I don't think they will. I don't think the 49ers can. How are they going to fit him under of all those guys that they've got to pay? How are they going to fit Lamar Jackson?
True enough. Because they're borderline going to need a quarterback. I mean, with Garofalo going to my team, that's another story. Who you got left with them? You got Birdie on the IR, or Birdie, or how do you pronounce it? Birdie, and Trey Lance.
Brock Purdy? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, Brock Purdy, sorry.
Darnold, they signed him a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
So I think that kind of ends it. And they do have Josh Johnson on the roster still, believe it or not.
That's right. Yeah, that's the only thing. If I were that, I'd be worried if somebody at the last second, just before the draft, decides, let's get this done. And you're sitting there waiting, till afterwards, after the draft.
By the way,
I waited too long.
Something very misleading when you go to their roster. Says Josh Johnson, who's 36 years old. His experience is 8 years. It was like 15 years ago that he played for the Bucks. But just because he's been hasn't been on the 53-man roster. He's been quite a bit of his career. He's been on the name's escaping me right now. Practice Squad. So it says 8 years, but it's not 8 years, man. He played for the Bucks. It was either 07 or 08. It was somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that was 07.
So I think what they're going to do is they're going to hope for the best. They've got Sam Darnold to compete with Trey Lance in camp. Brock Purdy's probably going to start on the IR. So what is it? Is it 6 weeks nowadays, I believe, that if you start on the IR, you can't come back till after 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I'd say that's what they're going to do with Purdy, because they're going to look at the big picture and say, we don't want to rush him back and he get injured, et cetera, et cetera. And they'll piece it together. Of course, we don't know what their schedule's like, because the schedule doesn't come out until May, I believe is when it is. But as soon as they signed Sam Darnold, that told me right there that they have no design of make. And everyone, I understand why people say Lamar Jackson, because literally they're a Lamar Jackson away from being a heavy Super Bowl favorite. I just don't think that they can fit all the names under the salary cap, because they still have to sign Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't locked him up long term, that I've seen.
Yeah, I think they have the cap space for him, so they might not even lock him up till after the draft. So, but they don't seem to be too worried about it.
Here's an interesting thing: Jordan Matthews is listed as a tight end nowadays for the 49ers. And for folks who might remember that name from fantasy and NFL and college, Jordan Matthews was a wide receiver for the Vanderbilt Commodores and then went over to Philly. I want to say he was on the Eagles team that beat Tom Brady. He's now lined up as a tight end nowadays. That's interesting.
Well, I'd always seen, it's funny you mentioned Jordan Matthews, because I was always joking, because they're talking about the draft right now and talk about Richardson and the great combine he had. That's a quarterback I turn into a tight end. I'd never let him play quarterback.
Yeah, the 49ers, of course, like I said, we haven't seen their schedule yet. But let me put it this way. I believe Shanahan thinks to himself, I'll find a way to win those six games. If I can go 3-3, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And when you bring him in, Purdy, and he does Purdy-type thing, because, I mean, one thing about Purdy is that he was accurate, he was a leader, he was solid. This is assuming that they don't draft a quarterback, but I don't think they will. I mean, not high. They might pick someone late in the draft to see if he can unseat someone, because I'm sure they have designs of not keeping Josh Johnson except on the practice squad, because that was terrible.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick update. If you can't see the screen, Princeton trails Arizona 14-6. Charleston is hanging in there with San Diego State. It's at halftime. And Alabama, 20-point lead at the half. They're about to come out of the break. Who did you have as your – I'll tell you what, let's take a super quick break. When we come back, we're going to get Doug's Final Four, because it's kind of a clunky show today because of all the technical difficulties. But we're going to get your Final Four. Don't do anything to your feed, Doug. It's working. We'll be back in a flash.
You're arrested for bribery. Can't you just bribe your way out? I mean, you're a briber. That's what you do.
Armchair Quarterbacks Radio, living in an era of baseball where the impossible is unfolding right before our eyes.
Salvador Perez, the 2-2. Popped up. Sandoval in foul territory. Giants win. A World Series win for the San Francisco Giants.
for the third time in the last 5 years. And their hero, Madison Bumgarner.
The 1-2 again. Inside corner. The Royals, 2015 World Champion. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
The game right now is at the plate.
Armchair.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. Friday, March 17th, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country. The Atlanta Braves are in Fort Myers, Florida to take on the Boston Red Sox. Braves Country HD with giving you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. That's Friday, March 17th, 1 p.m. Eastern, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country and your Atlanta Braves.
I was on Happy Days for 10 years. I committed hubris. I thought not that I was great, but that it was such a big show and it was so international.
It was everywhere.
That I was going to go from mountaintop to mountaintop. I was going to beat the system.
Yep.
I looked down and there were grass stains on the knees of my jeans. It was very difficult to get hired as an actor. And I had no plan B. I had no idea how or what to do next.
Was the show being so syndicated everywhere on all the time, was that a reminder?
This no, not, they did a good job of reminding me all on their own.
Alabama all over Texas A&M. Corpus Christi, they're up by 19. Missed it earlier. We were talking about it earlier, never updated. Kansas did cover the spread. They won by 26. I think they were giving up 22.5. I got it at 19.5 early in the week. So they did cover the spread. For those who can't, who are driving down the road, they can't see the screen here on our Braves Country HD YouTube live. Alabama leads by 16, 17 minutes left in the second half. San Diego State and Charleston, that game is at halftime. San Diego State leads by 3. Princeton hanging in there with Arizona. It is a 3-point game halfway through the first. And Illinois and Arkansas just got underway. Doug, what kind of streaming do you do, or do you do regular cable or what?
Oh, I stream most of my stuff, yes.
So do you have, is it YouTube TV? Is it Hulu Live? Like, what do you do?
Oh, I use YouTube Live.
YouTube TV?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious, have you turned the games on today?
No, actually, I haven't had a chance yet. I'm here at work.
You're going to be pleasantly surprised. I did not know this was going down. When you turn on YouTube, now I don't know if they're doing this for all or if this is just something YouTube's doing. So I don't know if this is something CBS has created, an extra channel, whatever. But when I told this story first hour, long story short, they have channels where multiple games are on at the same time.
Oh, so, okay.
So in other words, I've got on one screen, the Princeton-Arizona game is side-by-side with Illinois-Arkansas, and San Diego State is side-by-side with the Alabama game.
Hmm.
I don't know what it's going to look like tonight, and I really don't. I guess I could check by hitting this thing. Is this a – what do they call this actual channel? Well, of course, my remote's not working. But I'm curious to see if this yeah, I think this is a YouTube thing, because when I went to do what you can normally do with these channels, just kind of press up to see what channel you're watching, that it's not available that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're calling this channel. I just went to the home part, if you're familiar with that, and it gives you a suggestion. And I was like, wait, what? Why are there two? You'll see it suggested, but it'll be two games crammed into one box. Like, what is that? I just clicked on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Wow. Now, I will not have YouTube TV in 2 weeks. I'm flipping over to something, I think Fubo, but to something that has an MLB Network. I can't go all summer without MLB Network. I don't know what kind of funny business YouTube TV is doing, but I'm not down with it.
Well, I'll have to check it and see, because I use it all the time. So,
yeah, I put a pause on my account to where I'll come back. Whatever date I picked, it's like right before NFL football season starts. Because I don't know if you've heard, but they now, Google, YouTube TV, whatever you want to call it, they have the NFL ticket now.
Yes, I know.
So I'm all in come September, but I'm not going entire summer without MLB Network. There's just too much stuff that goes on. And one of the things I love the most about this, probably doesn't resonate with a lot of folks. So I call starting this year, I'm going to be calling four games a week for the Braves on Braves Country HD. We're going to do four games radio style for folks who haven't heard it. We'll be on here tomorrow. I think they're picking up the feeder on 2. So 2 p.m. If you haven't heard it, you'll get an idea of what it is, but it's essentially play by play Atlanta Braves for the fans by the fans, right? Mm-hmm. I do those four games, and one of the first things I like to do after the game is done, after my end is, and we'll still have the feed up for a little bit for anyone that wants to comment, you know, great game, or they're ticked off or whatever. I'll leave it up for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, something like that. But I click over to MLB Network, especially if it's a night game, to watch MLB Tonight, because they're usually talking about the game. And that's one of my favorite things, because you can't do that with ESPN. It's a very small blurb, if that, about Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. They're usually cramming something else down your throat. Be right in the middle. Be opening day, and there'll be an Aaron Rodgers watch.
You're going to get plenty more of that for a little while longer.
Jets. Like I've been calling for, my word, would they just go ahead and announce it? I've got a feeling it's going to be a Friday news drop. It could be tomorrow.
Yeah. The whole thing that I understand is Rodgers has said yes to it. So, yes. But now Green Bay is probably sitting there thinking, okay, how much can we get out of them? How much can we get out of the Jets?
Right.
How many first round picks can we get out of these guys? Because we all know the Jets have already said they'll give anything for him. So now Green Bay sitting there, I wonder how many number ones we can get out of it. And that's what they're haggling over at the moment.
And the thing is, I will say this, Aaron Rodgers has some power in this, right?
Right.
Because he obviously has to sign off. And one of the things that he could go to the Packers and say is, don't try to gut them, at least not now. You might be able to get future picks out of them, but I don't want to go play for a team that has no shot of winning anything because we've lost all of our draft picks.
Right.
But there's a game to be played there, because the current front office doesn't want to kick the can too far down the road, because then you're putting your job in jeopardy, and then the next guy comes in and looks like a genius when he has a great draft in 2029. So it's a fine line. But what do you figure? Rodgers at the most has 3 years left of elite, but probably two.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm the Jets, because I also have to pay all this money. Once again, we're back to that same thing, right? You're not just getting the player, and the Packers are absorbing the money. You've got to pay the money. It affects your salary cap. So if I'm the Jets, I offer a number one pick, a first round pick, and if they want a second pick, whether it's a second round or a first round, it can't be this year.
Right.
And I agree really with that. Don't like the idea if it's a number one pick for it being next year either. If I'm the Jets, I say, all right, we'll give you this year.
I was going to say, oh, go
ahead. What was this, 23? We'll give you 2025, 2026. You don't see a lot of those long-term trades in the NFL. They're normally very close together. But that's what I would be offering from the Jets. I'll say 2025. I think that's reasonable for both sides.
Right. Always remember one thing. It's taking too long with Aaron Rodgers, too. I was just going to throw in there because it drove me crazy. I'm like, what are you waiting for? And looking at Rodgers, the one thing that came out to me is I don't think he really expected to be really to be traded. I think Rodgers, you know, the way kind of the prima donna that he is, I think he sat there and thought, well, I'll tell him I'm going to quit. I don't want to be here, so on and so forth. And they'll beg me. And they'll beg me to come back to the Packers because I'm the Packers. And I think he was shell-shocked when the Packers told him, you know, we're kind of done with you. We're over you.
Right.
So, and I think he just kind of stood there and go, wow. Because he's kind of like the employee. And you as a manager, you've worked in restaurants. You have an employee goes, well, I quit. And you know what? You finally tell, good, go. Get out. Go.
No, don't quit. You're so valuable. What will we do?
Yeah, what will we do? And I think Green Bay told him privately. And I think the, what's his name? Thompson or whatever his name, told him, said it publicly. We're over you. We're done with this. We'll find what we can get for you. You don't want to, obviously, you don't want to be here.
I'll do what I did several times at the store we worked together because you're going to the Fleming Island store.
Yeah, but I didn't have to sit in a man cave for a week to figure it out.
You're sending me a mac and cheese, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why people were wondering why it's taking so long. I think he was just dumbstruck from it. I think just finally yesterday or the other day, he kind of go, oh, I'm going.
It's a little off topic, but it does remind me of when we had – when we worked together in that restaurant, and the brand new restaurant had issues with their management staff, and the two managers were melting down and ready to quit. And I took both of them into my store and gave the other store two of what they thought were the better managers. But I honestly was like, you know what? I'll make it work with these two dudes. I got to get rid of one of these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up working out in the end. But yeah, it is, there's a lot of similarity when you're like, you think you're getting so that's honestly what the Packers are doing. They're like, all right, you can have Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's great. So what we'll do is we'll just take some of your, you know, also Rans and you can have him. And then that's when you try to slide something else past them because they're so excited to get, Rodgers, that's going to be the sweet spot for the Jets is if they can slide something else past them.
Yes.
If I'm the Jets, I'll tell you something that can probably be done at this point now. Because if you remember, there was issues with this kid last year. He ended up coming around when Mike White played. But this is a perfect opportunity to cut bait, and he's talented. He just needs, I think he needs a new place. What about Elijah Moore getting traded as a part of the package to go to the Packers?
Yeah.
So you send him to Green Bay, to Jordan Love, because they've already just spent $40 million on Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Rodgers wants Randall Cobb to come too. And he wants Tonyan to come. He denies that he had this wish list, but it's kind of funny that everything else that's being said about Rodgers is coming true. So I'm going to believe that wish list from, what's her name? Diana Rossini, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Cetellini, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Everything that Rossini has said has come true, so why would this be any different? So he wants all these guys that have played with him because he's going to go get his old OC, right, who's going to be running the show, so they don't have to learn anything new. So why wouldn't you get involved and say, all right, let's go ahead and get rid of Elijah Moore. I think the kid's got talent. And maybe the Packers don't even keep him, but he's a heck of a trade chip to send to somebody who needs a receiver.
Yeah. Speaking of trade chips, I haven't said too much about what the...
Baseball, who are you giving me? What?
Sitting there watching my team basically strip any decent player and trade them off. With Darren Waller gone to the Giants now for just the third round pick. Hunter Renfro is gone. I'm telling you that right now.
I got rumor on that. You want to hear why Darren Waller got traded?
Yeah, go ahead. Hit me.
Hear this. Put these together. Kind of piece it together on social media, but check this out. I had it jotted down somewhere on my notes to bring it up to you. There it is. Darren Waller recently was married.
Yes.
Darren Waller's wife, and I think Darren Waller as well, I could be wrong on that, wanted to keep it hush-hush. They wanted it to be a quiet affair.
Right.
Why, I don't know, because Darren Waller's not a superstar, but whatever reason, they wanted to keep it quiet. That's their prerogative. Waller told Josh McDaniels about the wedding, but told him to keep it quiet. Josh McDaniels at the NFL Combine let it slip to reporters and said that he was getting married this weekend or whatever the heck it was the weekend before. His wife, his current wife now, Darren Waller's wife, went bananas and was furious. 3 days later, he's a New York Giant. So that is why he got traded. I don't know what was said. We'll probably never know that until way too late. And no one's going to care at that point 20 years from now when it's in a podcast, right? But that's why Darren Waller is a New York Giant today. It's got nothing to do with talent. It's got nothing to do with this and that. There must have been an ugliness that they couldn't return from.
And I tell you what, between that, and I think there's some ugliness with Renfro too. I don't know what it is. But if you go online and you go on a certain superstar wide receiver's YouTube page and his Twitter, he is not a happy man. He's almost going kind of very angry about how things are working out right now. And a lot of players on this team right now do not. That Waller thing really, I think the Waller thing and how it worked out really burned a lot of bridges on that team. Because that's got repercussions way beyond Waller being gone. He's got a team that does not like, they do not like him a lot. And I'm watching this team just fall apart at the seams.
A part of this story that I think I left out, because I kind of forgot it, because to me it doesn't make her a celebrity, but she plays in the WNBA.
Yeah, she's the Las Vegas Aces or something.
Right, which makes me think that Waller's going to make some kind of – he's going to make something happen so she can be in New York, whatever they're called. It says that she savagely mocked the Raiders head coach and jokingly said McDaniels was bitter for not being invited. So I guess he wasn't invited. And I don't have the tweet in front of me, but it said that there were reports claiming that Darren Waller and what is her name? Something Plum? Professor Plum? Plum did it. but anyways, they were both vividly upset.
Yep.
I won't get into who said it, but somebody on a national show mentioned that she was in the WNBA, and then they made a comment of how good looking of a couple they make, right?
Yeah.
Waller's a nice looking kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that about this Plum character, Professor Plum.
Yeah.
She doesn't have it, but she looks like she has a unibrow. That makes it sad. So it's like she's got that face where you think it's a unibrow, but it doesn't. But evidently she's her own person as far as going after. I mean, I don't know why she would go all about. Evidently, she went on social media. I'm just seeing this now, and made fun of the fact that McDaniels wasn't invited to the wedding. And that could be the reason why he let it slip. And I'm like, really? You think he cared? Especially the timing of the entire thing. Do you think he really cared that he wasn't invited to a wedding when he's got an NFL combine and an NFL draft to get? He's probably thanking the Lord.
Yeah, I if anything, I'm just wondering if he did it on purpose. Because I always thought he was going to go past him anyway. I didn't think Darren Waller was going to be on this team this year. That's why I'm not shocked by it. The reasoning is maybe a little bit surprising, but I think he used it as an excuse to push him out the door. He knew if he said something that he'd have to go ahead and do it, and he got his excuse. Because Darren Waller's never been a Joyce McLoser guy anyway. And he's wholeheartedly starting to get rid of everybody and basically bring in expatriates. Just ask Jacoby Myers right now.
I found the picture. Well, I found a picture. Now, this isn't the best because I'm trying to do six things at once. And this isn't the most flattering picture of Plum, Professor Plum. But,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to call the guys out because, you know, your taste is your taste. But they were I had not seen a picture of her. They were making it out to be like she was some kind of supermodel.
No.
That is not accurate. That is not an accurate statement, Senator. So anyways, I mean, it's not like I'm some prize myself, but they were going on and on like this could be the next super couple in New York. And I'm like, you know how most couples – well, I'd say most couples, you end up marrying pretty evenly, but then you see those couples, you're like, that person married down, right? Darren Waller married down, man. I'm sorry. He's a multimillionaire NFL player. The kid could probably be a model if he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
She tricked him.
Yeah, she kind of has a face that only the desert likes, I think.
She's got the face the NBA would put on TV, or the WNBA would put on TV.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the ratings are down. I don't know.
Perhaps. What is
your walk-off for the day, sir? I'll tell you what. Give me your walk-off. We got sidetracked with all this nonsense.
I'll just say my final four picks. You'll see UCLA, Texas, Alabama, and Marquette.
And who wins it all?
Texas ends up winning their first basketball championship.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've got Gonzaga winning it all, beating Duke. Who do you have them beating?
Let me see. I've got Texas beating Alabama.
Oh, wow. I don't think I could hate a game more than that.
I know, but it just – it just seemed like the way everybody's played this year. I mean, I want Marquette to win. I'm rooting for Marquette in the tournament, but it just seems from what I've observed,
How deep have your Xavier boys going?
I think they won today or yesterday, I want to say. The last time I saw, they won. So, I mean, I think they'll go far in the tournament, but I think they'll drop at a certain point. Just like I think Duke will get. Duke and Xavier will make the Sweet 16, but I think that'll be their last stop.
I've actually got – I think I have Xavier leaving pretty quick. All right, we got a jam. I believe Brian Snow shows next. Not 100% sure on that. We will be back tomorrow. They're picking us up early at 2 o'clock for Braves Red Sox. Braves Red Sox, happy St. Paddy's Day. You can't see the shirt, but it says, keep calm and drink like a McGee. We'll see you manana, baby. Let's go. March Madness.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Hey,
Friday, March 17th, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country. The Atlanta Braves are in Fort Myers, Florida to take on the Boston Red Sox. Braves Country HD with giving you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. That's Friday, March 17th, 1 p.m. Eastern, St. Patty's Day with Braves Country and your Atlanta Braves.